Thank you for being with us today. This sermon is a little bit different. It's online only due to this scare from this virus. But I wanted to provide a second lesson for you this week. We're going to begin by noticing from Genesis chapter 4, maybe one of the most thought-provoking questions in the Bible is the one that was asked by Cain. You'll remember from this chapter that Cain had just killed his brother because God records for us that he accepted Abel's offering, but not Cain's. We see that in Genesis 4, verses 3 through 8. And when the Lord came back and he asked Cain about his brother Abel, Cain's response was, "Am I my brother's keeper?" from verse 9. You know, this is a question that we would do well to ask ourselves today. Are we our brother's keeper? Do we have a responsibility to watch out for and care for one another? When we turn to the New Testament, it becomes clear that the answer is a definite yes. In fact, there are many passages that emphasize just this very thought. We have responsibilities to one another. One of those responsibilities is to love one another. We notice in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, as well as in John chapter 15, in verse 12, and again in verse 17, that to love one another is something that Jesus has commanded us. We see also in Romans chapter 13, and verse 8, in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9, that Paul taught that this was something that we must do, that we are to love one another. And Peter instructed us to love one another in 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. Also, John stressed this in 1 John 3, verse 11, especially in verse 12, and in chapter 4 and in 2 John chapter verse 5. But how are we to express this love that we are to have for one another? Well, I believe other passages in the New Testament will give us that answer. So when we ask ourselves, how are we to show this love for one another? Paul would tell us in Romans chapter 15 and verse 7 that we are to receive one another. He would also, in the previous chapter, in chapter 14 of Romans, in verse 19, tell us that we're to edify, to build up one another. He would write in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13 that we are to serve one another and to bear one another's burdens in Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. But he also says to the Ephesian brethren that we are to forgive one another, chapter 4 and verse 32. But then he makes an interesting statement in chapter 5 of Ephesians in verse 21, where he tells us that we are to be submitting to one another. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 3 that we are to exhort to build up one another. And in chapter 10 of Hebrews, verses 24 and 25, especially verse 24, we're told to consider one another or to stir up one another. And this is really important when we are commanded to come together in the assembly, that our being present there is showing love for our brethren. Remember, Jesus commanded that we love one another. And it's taught throughout the pages of the New Testament, as we've just noticed, that we are to love one another. But also, 1 Peter 4, verses 8 through 10 tells us that we are to show hospitality to one another. Now, usually our concept of this hospitality is, well, I'll have you over for a meal, and then you can have me over. Or if I have you over, then you feel obligated to have me over. But that's not what hospitality means in the biblical sense. If you go back to the Old Testament, you were given the example of people that would travel into a city that maybe come in too late. All the hotels, if you will, would be full, the inns, places where they could rent rooms. And if that was the case, they would gather around the city square, the fountain in the middle of the town, and they would sleep there. Well, when you did that, you opened yourselves up to thieves, to highwaymen, to anyone that wanted to rob or kill you. The example is that if you lived in that town, you would go out and bring those people into your house at your cost with no obligation from them. That's showing hospitality, is doing good to people, not necessarily your friends or your brothers in Christ, but doing good to people with no expectation of repayment or reimbursement. And yet we are to be hospitable to one another, Peter says. In light of one such passage, this passage is where we are to look at one another, love one another. Is there any doubt that we are to be our brother's keeper? But then we have to ask the question, how well are we doing that? We need to stimulate our thinking and help ourselves to re-examine our lives of just how well we are fulfilling our obligations to one another. Now let's consider the following questions. In evaluating our role as our brother's keeper, when one becomes my brother, do we receive them into the family of God or do we ignore them? Paul would talk about this in Romans chapter 15 and verse 7. Are they properly assimilated into the family life of the congregation? Do we keep them on the edge, if you will, of the family, on the fringe? A lot of times it may be that's where they want to remain, but we can't allow that. We have to bring them into the fold to assimilate them into the church family, if you will, for the family life. We have to know their names, and we can be sure that if we're failing as our brother's keeper, if we don't know their names, then we're not helping them. If we don't love one another and help them to become part of the household of God, then we are failing in our job. Do we edify them, or do we put stumbling blocks in their way? Again, Paul speaks of this in Romans 14 and verse 19. As individuals, are we bodybuilders? And what I mean by that is, are we encouraging the members of the body? Too many times, and I've seen this from brethren and heard brethren talk about this, that so-and-so hurt my feelings because they criticized. You know, there are ways to criticize without being belligerent, without tearing down someone. We need, our main focus needs to be that we are building up and encouraging one another. But if we're not doing that, then maybe we've become like a cancer that's weakening the members of the bodies of Christ. And you look at this, and if we're building the body or we're a cancer, we look at our own example. What type of life are we living? Are we showing, are we leading by example? Are we encouraging people, or are we tearing people down? Look at our words, our attitudes, etc., our love that we have for one another. And again, you know, there's a Disney movie called Bambi, and in it, Thumper, the little rabbit, was told by his mama, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. You know, our words, our attitudes can help to build up those new in the faith, or they can help to destroy those new in the faith. Well, let's broaden that. They can help to build up anyone, whether they've been baptized recently or whether they've been baptized 20 years ago, or they can help to tear down that same person. You know, it was said of Philemon that he refreshed the hearts of his brethren. Could that be said of us today? Do we refresh the hearts of our brethren by our examples, the way we live our lives, the way we serve God, the way we worship God, by our words, our attitudes? A third question, do we submit to them, as Peter mentioned a moment ago, or do we rule over them with arrogance? Ephesians 5 and verse 21. Too many times I think some brethren, some sisters think that they have a position in life that elevates them over everyone else. and they feel that it is their duty to walk around with their head up a little bit higher than everyone else and to rule over everyone else and to belittle everyone else. But we are to submit ourselves to one another and not have an arrogance of having a necessity to rule over everyone else. You know, it may be that someone has a suggestion for an idea on how to do something. When we were in the Band Boosters' main focus or function was to raise money, to buy uniforms, to buy instruments, to provide transportation to all of these events, to football games and things of that nature. So when Marilyn and I went in as fresh parents, they asked us if we had any ideas on how to make money, how to raise money, fundraisers. So we sat there and we come up with an idea or two, and every idea that we came up with, those that had been there for any length of time would rear back with their head and say, nope, can't do that. Why? We've tried that in the past and it didn't work. Just because you've been a Christian for a while does not mean that you have the right to belittle anybody, especially if they have ideas or if they have suggestions. But there are ways that you can talk to people and tell them that that is not the right answer, the right suggestion, or whatever. Another question is, do we serve them in love? Or do we expect them to serve us? This is what Paul speaks of in Galatians 5 and verse 13. Our attitude toward our brethren ought to be one that we love them enough that we're going to do whatever we can to help them grow, to help them be strong, to help them grow in their faith. And I want to expound upon this a little bit and tell you that if you will do that, then it will help you to grow in your faith as well and to grow in your love. When, as we mentioned a moment ago, then there's the question of hospitality. Do we show them hospitality? That's what Peter speaks of in 1 Peter 4, verses 8 through 10. Do we do this by visiting them in their time of need? You know, we sing a song sometime, there's room in the kingdom. And a lot of people look at, well, I can't get out, I can't do this, I can't preach, I can't teach, and they start naming off all these things that I can't do. But in that song, there's room in the kingdom, it says, for the small things that you can do. It may be that they just need a phone call. It may be that a card would make their day. It may be that you can get out and visit them in their time of need. Or it may be that you have the ability to invite them into your home. Or accepting an invitation when they invite you into theirs. The hospitality thing here is that we show love. Again, we show love, serve them with love, without any expectation of repayment. But then what about when a brother is overtaken in a fault? Do we even consider them? In Hebrews 10, verse 24, we're told to consider one another. Are we even aware of who they are? Are we ignorant of their problems? And if we are, why? It may be because we don't assemble enough ourselves. It may be that we wonder about them, but that's as far as our thinking goes. Well, if we just think about them and we never follow up or ask questions about them, that's not enough. That is not sufficient. And then when they drift away with no one making an effort to reach them, we wonder, well, what happened? Didn't the elders check up on them? Didn't Jeff check up on them? The question is, did I check up on them? Did you? Did you encourage them? Did you consider them? Did you stir up unto love and good works? Hebrews 10:24. Do we exhort them so that they're not hardened by sin, Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 14? Or are we afraid to confront them? Well, I know they have problems, and if I go talk to them, then I might cause them to run away. You know, if we truly love them and approach them with an attitude of humility, they're not likely to run away. And if they do, they're not running away from you. They're running away from God. We need to remember that these exhortations ought to be daily. Perhaps we wait too long, but we need to be checking on one another. You know, with this virus going around right now, everybody is self-quarantined or staying in their homes. If you're looking for something to do, call your brothers and sisters in Christ. Everyone has a phone directory. Call the elderly, especially if you're younger. Call the elderly. Call your parents, believe it or not, and see if you can do anything for them. Maybe they need groceries. Then there's a question, are we willing to bear their burdens? Paul mentions this in Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2, that we're to bear one another's burdens. You ever wonder why that statement is there, that question? Why should we be willing to bear their burdens? Well, if you've ever taken part of the load off of someone else, then it helps to make them stronger. It helps them to overcome their problems. And also it helps you to become stronger when you help take part of their burdens. But then we may take the attitude, well, I'd rather not be bothered by their burdens. Are you your brother's keeper? And a fourth question here, are we quick to forgive them when they repent? It's what Paul speaks of in Ephesians 4 and verse 32. There is a fear of people that they're not going to be forgiven and accepted back into the family. And that may be what keeps some from repenting and returning to God's church. Some people may think, well, my sins are so bad that no one will forgive me. Paul stated in his lifetime that he was chiefest of sinners. That in his previous life, before he became a Christian, he had persecuted those of the way. That he had arrested them and had some brought back to jail to be either put to death or put in prison. And yet, God accepted him and even gave him a job to do. So when people are willing to make that step forward and repent, and they know that God's going to forgive them, we need to forgive them as well. We don't need to pull out our little black books and say, well, now Jeff came forward and repented of this sin on such and such a date. And I need to remember that. No, we need to forgive and forget. And do we communicate a willingness to accept them back with open arms and to offer a complete forgiveness? So, am I my brother's keeper? I think the scriptures tell us that the answer is definitely yes. Without any doubt, we are our brother's keeper. You know, I had a sermon that I made a mention of with a chain that was breaking. And I pointed out that, you know, the church is as strong only as the weakest member. But you know, that weak link can be strengthened by putting links around it that are strong. It doesn't have to be replaced, but it can be strengthened with other chain links. So when I think of this, if I know that I have a brother or sister that is weak, then I need to gather around them with other Christians. And that gathering around them will help to strengthen them. Now, as we close out this lesson, we need to consider that how we answer these questions in our own lives and in our own service may reveal how well or poorly we are fulfilling our responsibility to be our brother's keeper. And it may tell us if we're living up to the one responsibility that we have that includes all others, and that is to love one another as Jesus loved us. That's what he said in John 13, verses 34 and 35. Now, like I said, with this coronavirus and everything that's going around, we need to really be thinking about our brothers and sisters in Christ. If we have failed to be our brother's keeper, then we need to repent of our lack of concern, our lack of inactivity, or whatever has hindered us from being my brother's keeper. We need to confess our shortcomings in this area to God, and we need to resolve to apply with great zeal these comments, these thoughts to one another, as these passages point out. Now, are you your brother's keeper? Are you even identified with this congregation whereby you can be a working member who both cares for those in the family and be cared by them? I hope this study has stirred you up, stimulated your thinking about our responsibilities, your responsibility that you have toward your brethren in Christ. Like I say, this is a little bit different, but I hope that it will help to encourage you. If we can help you in any way, please contact us. Thank you.